Welcome, everyone, to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is best practices for install update of WebSphere Application Server version 8 using Installation Manager. The presenters are Vish Sergal and Vikram Tamandru. Vish joined IBM in May 2006 as a Level 2 support engineer and has worked across multiple components within WebSphere Application Server products. He currently serves in the role of team lead and is subject matter expert for WebSphere Application Server install, update, and migration issues. He continues to provide Level 2 support for products and works with WebSphere development to advocate improvements to the product's installation and update technologies. His areas of expertise also include WebSphere scripting, administration, performance, system management, and application management. In addition to working with IBM client, he presents technical education sessions for WebSphere Level 2 support teams and has published several technical documents and blogs for handling product problem scenarios. Vikram is a subject matter expert and IBM certified for WebSphere Application Server version 8.5 release. His areas of expertise include WebSphere product install, WebSphere scripting administration, system management, and application management. Vikram has been with the IBM Corporation for over 10 years and supports multiple versions of WebSphere Application Server from version 4.0 to version 8.5. In addition to working with IBM's clients, he presents technical education sessions for WebSphere Level 2 support team and has published several technical documents and blogs for handling product problem scenarios. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Vikram.
Thank you, Katie. Good morning, all. My name is Vikram Tamandru, and thank you all for joining for today's WebSphere Technical Exchange session in best practices for install or update of WebSphere Application Server V8X, that means, 8.0X and 8.5X. And so this today's session, we're going to be focusing on WebSphere full profile only with the Installation Manager. Today's agenda, the slide number 3. In today's agenda, we're going to look at overview of IBM Installation Manager, repositories concepts, important directories of Installation Manager, different options we have with the Install Manager, best practices, and some common problems that normally we see with Install Manager, and some much gather data tips with Install Manager, and at the end we can take some question and answer session. Slide number 3, the introduction of Installation Manager. A single instance of IBM Installation Manager can manage the product lifecycle for any IBM Installation Manager-based products from WebSphere, Rational, Lotus, and any other brand within IBM. The Installation Manager full product installation lifecycle management comprises of product installation, adding or removing features, an installation and full service management, which includes like installing or uninstalling iFixes and applying and rolling back some service fixbacks. IBM Installation Manager provides a full graphical user interface for distributed platforms only, excluding ZOS and IBM i operating system. It also provides command line utility for all the platforms to perform install operations silently. Slide number 4. Let's talk about repositories concepts now. slide number 5, repositories. The repositories contains one or multiple product offerings that have both metadata and actual payload for the offering. The offering metadata describes the name, supported platforms, optional features, and prerequisites for the product. Normally, IBM Installation Manager repository contains the full content that is required to install on various platforms, operating systems, and so on. The repository can be referenced by different IBM Installation Managers on different machines. The repository topologies can be generalized in three different categories. The first one is a public repository, which is accessible using a URL with an internet connection. The second one is enterprise repository that typically exists behind the firewall and is only accessed by multiple machines within the enterprise intranet. And the last one is a local repository that is used by a single user and not shared with any other users. IBM packaging utility can be used to copy offerings from one repository to another repository. Since the repository contains both binary code and text-based XML files, it must be transferred in binary mode to prevent any corruption when using the file transfer tools. Slide number 6. This slide shows how to add any repository to Installation Manager. And so in the Installation Manager GUI, when you go there, you're going to see a tab, File, and then if you click on File, so you go into the Preferences. Under the Preferences, you have a Repositories menu, and then click on Add Repository. For web repositories, add the URL for the offering being installed. For local repositories, provide the repository path up to and including repository.config file that defines the repository. If you are using a silent mode, then you will need to add the repository to the server section of the response file as shown here. For command line, hyphen repositories option can be used to specify the location of repository. Slide number 7, please. For WAS offerings, public repositories are available from IBM Passport Advantage site. You need a username and password to make a connection to the Passport Advantage site, and the same can be configured in Install Manager. To use web repositories, depending on offerings being installed, use the correct URL. The above example shows URL for Express, ND, or base version. For URLs related to IHS, plugin, etc., please check the link under complete list above for complete details. Please note that these URLs should be added to Installation Manager, and they cannot be accessed via browser. Even if you try to hit them from the browser, they are not going to work. So we should be specifying those URLs only in the Installation Manager. Also, you can add Passport Advantage credentials to Installation Manager and should be able to list WAS offerings. IAM should have access to internet. Otherwise, you know, you're going to see a problem with connection failures. Local copy of repositories can be downloaded to local machine from Passport Advantage site. They can be then unzipped on the local system, and then you can use them as a local repository. Please move on to slide number 8. The link mentioned here lists odd numbers available for Network Deployment Manager, Supplements, and Java in WebSphere 8.5.5. Download odd numbers that are grouped together for one particular offering. For example, for Network Deployment Manager version, download all three zip files. These will contain installation media for all distributed operating systems such as AIX, Windows, Linux, Solaris, and HP Unix. Install media is same for 32-bit and 64-bit binaries. So it means like you will be using the same port numbers, same media for both 32-bit or, you know, the 64-bit, the binaries that you want to install on the system. Similarly, for IHS, plugin, application client, plugin configuration tool, please download all the three zip files as mentioned in this slide. Next slide, please. Here, so we talk about, you know, how to extract. So here, please extract all the zip files which belong to the offering in the same repository, in the same directory you will be extracting them. Please don't extract files belonging to different offerings in the same directory. This example shows Network Deployment Manager and the supplemental pod being extracted. Notice all the zip files extracted to the same location here. Then specify the repository path up to and including the repository.config file in the installation manager. Repositories can be unzipped on Windows media and moved to Unix system. Be sure to use binary mode only to prevent any kind of corruption when using the file transfer tools. However, if you are unzipping installation manager own installer.zip file, you should unzip it directly on the system that you want to install it on to avoid any problems with file permissions. The slide number 10. All right. Here, this slide shows enterprise setup, where step one, packages are downloaded from Internet IBM site on machine which has access to Internet. Step two, packaging utility is used to merge these repositories into a single repository, so this can be served via Internet or FTP, etc., to the internal systems as shown in the step number three. So we will talk about this packaging utility more in the coming slides. Slide number 11, please. The IBM Packaging Utility is a free companion tool to Installation Manager. Both can be used independently of each other. The IBM Packaging Utility is a packaging tool that creates and manages software package repositories in the correct format for IBM Installation Manager. You can use IBM Packaging Utility to move packages between or delete packages from repositories. You can create a new repository containing one or more offerings. For example, WebSphere Application Server, IHS, plugin installation media can be combined into single repository. You can also extract offerings for a single operating system from a large sized repository, producing a smaller platform scope repository. For more details on how to create enterprise repositories, you can review the WebSphere Technical Exchange link mentioned in this slide. That one has more information about, you know, how to, you know, it talks about the packaging utility, how it can be used. Slide number 12, please. The packaging utility has introduced a new feature as of version 1.5.0.1. This technology preview feature allows you to take an existing repository and create a new repository from it. extracting only the packages for a specific operating system and architecture. We call the resulting repository a platform scoped repository. That is to say, the repository is generated with the packages only for a particular platform instead of repository which contains packages for all the platforms. For example, it is possible to generate a WebSphere application server V8 repository for Windows operating systems only. These platform scoped repositories are smaller than the original repositories. Our WebSphere application server installation architect, he has written an article which explains this feature more in detail. If you are interested in learning more about this feature after today's discussion, I encourage you all visit the URL mentioned in the slide. Slide number 13, please. This feature is accessible using the command line version of packaging utility only, which is called PUCL. Note that this platform scoping utility is only available on the command line, like I mentioned. So, in order to use this feature, you will need to use command line similar to what's shown on the top of the slide. Let's discuss the individual parameters in general terms. Run the PUCL command and specify that the operation is copy, as shown by the first parameter after the PUCL command. Next, you will be specifying the packaging ID and version. The package ID parameter specifies what package you want to copy from a group of repositories. The optional version parameter can specify if you want to copy a specific fixed pack level of the package. You can use this in order to merge specific fixed packs into your target repository. If you are unsure what package ID and version is appropriate to specify here, open a repository's repository.xml file, where you can find that information. A repository package ID and version is mentioned near the top of that repository.xml file. Then, specify the parameter, the hyphen repositories, and then list the source repositories. You can specify multiple repositories specified by comma. After that, specify the parameter, -target, and then put the full path to where you want to generate a new repository. If any other source repositories require authentication, such as password advantage site, you can optionally specify -prompt option so that this command will prompt you for those authentication credentials that are required to make a connection to the PSI, to password advantage site. Next slide, 14, please. Next, you can specify your platform scope using the -- parameter. This is the essence of this new feature. Using this, you can choose a specific operating system and architecture to copy into the target repository. The -- platform parameter uses a specific format shown in the example highlighted in the bright and the top of the slide. You can specify or voice equals your operating system choice, a comma, then arc equals your architecture choice. You can choose from the values listed in the middle of the slide for operating system choices. Note that you can only choose one operating system choice. You cannot specify multiple operating systems here. The architecture parameter is optional. There are actually only two operating systems where that parameter is relevant, which are Linux and Solaris. The valid architecture choices for those operating systems are listed in the slide. The architecture choice really is not relevant for any for other operating systems, and so it should be omitted in those cases. Slide number 15, please. Now, we will discuss some important directories with the installation manager. Slide number 16, please. Before we talk about directories, let's see the install modes available with installation manager. This is important since default location changes based on the mode. So like I said, there are three different modes available with Installation Manager. The first one is Administrator, Root User only. Only one Installation Manager allowed with the root user on the system. The second one is Non-Admin, Non-Root User. One Installation Manager per user. Group mode allows multiple users to use a single instance of Installation Manager to manage software packages. This does not mean that two people can use a single instance of IBM Installation Manager at the same time. Group mode is not available on the Windows or IBM iSeries operating systems. Make sure that you change the installation location from the default location in the current user's home directory to your location that is accessible by all users in the group mode. Slide number 17, the shared resource. So here the first one, you know, we are looking at IBM Installation Manager shared data. The shared resource directory acts as a cache of data related to repositories. It contains files that can be shared by multiple packages and the product installations. This directory location can only be selected the first time you install a package with the Installation Manager. After the shared data location is set, it cannot be changed using a response file or graphical interface. For the best results, select a file system with the ample available spaces. This directory will grow as more products and the packages are installed. The contents of this directory should not be deleted in an effort to conserve file system space. Options to save on disk space will be discussed in later section of this presentation. It is recommended to take a backup of this directory when taking other operating systems backup all the time. Slide shows, you know, screenshot of IAM shared directories on Windows system. Slide number 18, please. Like I mentioned before, this directory is selected when first offering is installed. This slide especially shows the options during graphical, silent, and command line mode for selecting IAM shared, how you can select in the location of IAM shared. Slide number 19. The next important directory with Installation Manager is the Install Manager Agent Data. This is the directory that Installation Manager uses to track data that is associated with installed products like state of each product, history of operations, logs, etc. Making any changes to this, you know, content of this directory is not at all supported. The default agent data location and details are on contents are listed in the slide. All the logs of Installation Manager operations are also in the logs directory. Slide number 20. There is some repetition, you know, between slide number 19 and 20, so I'm skipping the slide number 20. Please move on to slide number 21. The data in the directory is extremely important. Like I said, you know, the directories IAM shared and IAM agent data. So the data what you see under this directory is very, very important. If this directory becomes lost or corrupted for any reason, it may not be possible to install Fixpack or even uninstall products. Taking backups of this directory is very, very recommended. You can direct IAM to use different directory using hyphen data location or hyphen DL parameter during the installation of Install Manager for all the operating systems installed by IAM to use the specified directory. For each offerings, different data location can be used, but user will need to keep track of each directory as Installation Manager by default will use the data agent specified during the initial install of Installation Manager. If you choose to do this, then the same location must be used every time for this WAS installation. At this time, I'm passing my presentation to my colleague, the Vaishav. I'm turning over to Vaishav.
Yeah, thank you, Vikram. I will again welcome everybody. I'm going on to slide 22, please. So I will be starting with the install options that we have with Installation Manager, the graphical, silent, and command line, because we still got a lot of questions on that. So going on to slide 23, please. The Installation Manager includes several wizards that guide you through installing, updating, and uninstalling the product. Let me give you an overview of these functions. The install visit is for installing the packages. That is, first time when you're installing a package, the install function will access the repositories configured, allow you to select the specific packages to install from a list of packages in the listed in the repositories and available for installation. The update is to apply the fix pack or an iFix to an existing install that is being done. And this is where sometimes we see confusion where, we're trying to install a fix pack and you take an install option. You should always use update option to apply a fix pack or an iFix to an existing install. The modify function is to modify or add or remove features like samples, et cetera. Katie, let's go to slide 24, please. The import visit allows you to point to an existing product installation on your system and link it to the installation manager. Now, this is only available for V7 of WebSphere Application Server product. Is because V7 was installed using the ISMP installer, and to import it to IM to install feature packs is that you use the import function. The import function is not available for V8 and higher and should not be used. It will not work, basically. The rollback option allows you to move to the previous version of the service, that is the previous fix pack, and we'll discuss it later, and uninstall allows you to remove or uninstall the packages or even uninstall the iFixes. The managed license wizard is not used by WebSphere products at this time. Slide 25, please. The next is the silent install where we use a response file. So if the graphical capabilities are not available on the system, then the silent mode can be used to uninstall, install, or roll back. The installation manager itself can be installed in silent mode, and then the subsequent operations, such as installing or uninstalling, can be performed in silent mode. The response file are XML formatted and which are used as an input. Sample response file for various activities are available in our information center. The link is updated above on the slide. You can click it and it will take you to WASP 8.5 sample response files, and you can customize those as the need of your environment. A single information program takes a response file as an input, and the response file drives all the activity. A single response file can instruct installation manager to install multiple actions like installing WASP, plugin, IHS, etc. The command shows how to invoke IMCL to run a response file. We always encourage using dash log and dash sp, which is nothing but show progress, so that on the prompt you can see what's going on with the install. These are not required but recommended parameters. Slide 26, please. We do ship sample response files. However, we do give a capability to record a response file using IBM IM skip install option. So when running IM in a recording mode, the graphical interface will indicate the mode as seen on the title bar, highlighted in red. Skip install mode allows installation manager to simulate installation without actually installing the product. By using this option with dash agent data location argument allow with the dash record option, you can create a response file for an installation process without performing the actual install. The agent data location stores the data for the dummy installation data. You can use the same agent data to perform your subsequent operation, such as recording a response file for a fix pack or uninstalling a product or doing a rollback. Skip install should only and only be used for a record option. This is an important thing here to note that you should always use the directory that you specify with skip install should not be your actual agent data directory. That should always be some other directory. Otherwise, if you use the actual agent data directory, which Vikram explained in the previous slides, then that directory will get populated with the install, and if you want to do an actual install to the same location, that's not going to work. And we also recommend, like I mentioned, use the same directory for your subsequent fix pack updates so that, that directory will have the updates about the offerings that you have previously recorded. Slide 27, please. So here we're showing a sample response file with a different section. I just want to touch base that the different sections that are there. The repository details is where you specify your repository. It can be a single repository or it can be multiple repository based on operations you're doing. The offering detail is the area to specify the details of the offering that you want to install. Note that the Eclipse location should always be your offering home. That is, if you're installing WAS, whatever you specify for WAS home is what you specify for your Eclipse location. It is an optional parameter. It's good if you don't use it also, because if you specify anything else for Eclipse location, that will cause the install to fail. Also note that the profile per offering, and it should always be one profile ID for each install. Install options is used to specify the version and the features that are used for install. So that's the install option section. So if no version is installed. The last is the shared resource directory, which is used for IamShared. Slide 28, please. This is a sample response file which was installed, which was created using the record option, and this shows the install of WAS, IHS, and WCT, which is a customization toolkit.
Slide 29.
Slide 29, please. This is a new option starting IAM17, which is like generate response file option. This option can be used to create a response file based on the existing products that are installed, or it can be generated based on the repository that you have. If there are multiple repositories, multiple offerings in the repository, then you can create a response file for a specific package by specifying the package ID, and only that package will be added to the response file. And by default, the response file is displayed on the console. You can use the dash output option to create the response file. When you do not specify dash repository or dash connect to Passport Advantage, this option will create a response file based on the products that are installed with the IAM from where you're running this command. The screenshot at the bottom shows available options for response file generated from the repository and for the installed packages. Slide 30, please. The next option, or the third option to install, is the command line, which is invoked by IMCL. So it has different options like install, uninstall, install, list available packages, and et cetera. So we'll talk about, in this presentation, we'll discuss about the common use options in the coming slides. And this IMCL option is available in the IAM Home Clips Tools directory. There's a blog out there which gives more detailed examples of these IMCL commands, which is listed on the slide. I strongly encourage you to review that if you want to use need more details on command line options. Slide 31, please. This slide shows the example usage of IMCL installed packages command. Like you see, this shows the packages that are installed with this IAM. The list available packages option can be used to list the packages that are available in the repository that you have specified. Slide 32. The most common used option is the install option. So with IMCL, install option can be used to actually install the offering. The package, installation directory, and the repository and accept license are the required parameters. If no version is specified, then the highest version in the repository is installed. You can always use list available package as shown in the previous slide to list what versions are available, because in case you have multiple versions in your repository and you're using enterprise, so if you want a specific version, you can list it using the list available packages command, and then it will install that version. So in the coming slide, I'll show an example of an install of 8.5. Slide 33, please. So here's an example showing the install of 8.5.5 WAS. The text highlighted in green are required options, and the options in blue are needed if you want to change the default values. For example, you need to install what you want to install and the features, the repositories, that is where your offering is, and then the installation directory where you want to do the install. And then the dash accept license is you have to specify. Dash SP is optional, but I always keep it in green. The reason is that that way you'll see that nice percentage thing in the bottom, and if your install fails, it will actually show you on the prompt. The other preferences in blue, like shared resource directory, is only used the first time. Even if you don't specify, it will pick the default directory as shown by Vikram in previous slides. And you can always put your preferences to save the files for rollback and, you know, if you want to preserve them for rollback or not. In the bottom of the slide, you'll see the text in green, which is what you get if you specify dash log option, which means there was no error or warning, and the install is success. If there's an error or warning, and if you specify dash log and dash SP, it will log it into the log file as well as on the prompt too. Slide 34, please. The next is rollback versus uninstall. The rollback is used to go to the previous install fix pack, and uninstall is used for uninstall of offering and iFixes. If you are using command line to use, you know how to find what version you need to roll back to and how do you find what's the history of install, that's discussed in very detail in the blog, and the link to the blog is on the slide. You can always review, and if you have questions, you can put the comments on the blog and the owner can respond. Slide 35. In this session, we wanted to focus on the difference in rollback and uninstall and the common mistake that is done during uninstall. So that's what we wanted to focus on. So let's take in this example, what we have done is we have installed 802 and then upgraded to 803 plus some iFixes. Now, if I click rollback, it gives me an option to go back to 802. Versus if I click uninstall, it gives me an option to uninstall those iFixes or I can uninstall 803. Now, if I select uninstall 803, which is highlighted in blue, it's going to uninstall the complete product. And if I want to uninstall the iFixes, I just select the iFixes. So if you're using to uninstall an iFix, you make sure that you select just the iFixes, not the product. Slide 36, please. Here's an example for the rollback using graphical, silent, or command line. How do you roll back? So we installed 803, updated to 805, now need to move back to 803. So in the graphical mode, you just click rollback, it gives you the option, and you click next, and it takes you back to 803. In the response file, you use the tag rollback, and in the IMCL command line, you use the rollback as an option and specify what you are rolling back to. So in this case, since we are going back to 803, we always specify in the response file and in the command line that we want to go back to 803 because you always specify what version you want to roll back to. Slide 37, please. Now, uninstall can also be done with the command line using the uninstall option. You always specify the package ID that you want to uninstall, and it will uninstall the complete product. However, if you want to uninstall the fix, an iFix, you just specify the fix ID, like shown the example is there, that IMCL uninstall 855-PI-39793. Then in this case, it will only uninstall the iFix. Slide 38. IM does have the console mode for doing different operations, but this mode is not available for any of the WAS offerings. However, you can use this option to remove the repositories that you have added, or check your log, or check installed products. So this is a console mode option that's available. But the install, update, modify options are not supported on WAS offerings in this mode. Slide 39, please. Now we'll discuss some best practices and some common issues that we see in the support from customers. Slide 40. See, like Vikram mentioned when he talked about the IM share directory, that in course of time, the IM share directory can increase in size since it stores files for rollback, which means that if you want to roll back to a previous fix pack, you don't have to specify a repository. You can just do IMCL rollback and the fix pack ID. It will roll you back. Now, what happens is the size does increase. So if you want to save the space, you can always choose not to save files for rollback. And the options for that in GUI response file and command line, so that is using IMCL-C, shown on the slide. If you specify this, no files will be saved for rollback. slide 41. Now, once you select this option, the downside is that when you roll back, you have to point to the repository of the fixed pack you are rolling back to. So in our previous example, as we are going from 803 to 805, so let's say you want to roll back, you want to specify the 803 repository also. And once you, like, you choose not to save files, no directory, there are certain files that will be left behind, which is not as big of a size, they're smaller, but those should never be deleted to save on the disk space because those are required and mandatory files. You should never delete anything manually from this directory. Only, you know, if you want to save space, you choose not to save files or rollback. Any other iFixes and stuff that is installed that still exists there, because that's needed for IAM internal functional when IAM applies a fixed pack, etc. You can always use IAMCL list installation directories dash purpose command to list your IAM shared directory to find out what directory is being used for this IAM. Slide 42. So, sorry for that. These are the commands that are listed for the install of IAM. Like you see, based on the user, admin, non-admin, or group mode, the commands used are different. So for root user, it's install. For non-root, it would be user IMSD. Similarly, for silent and command on the boot, the commands are different. So based on the user that you're using, you can use the correct command to install IAM. Slide 43, please. So this is the default location for IAM. So let's say you just run the install C command as root. This is the default directory where IAM is going to install, where the IAM will get installed will be Opt IBM Installation Manager. However, during your GUI install or IAMCL-C install of IAM, you can customize that path. GUI will give you an option. Whereas if you use the response file to install, it will not give that option. So we'll cover that in the next slide, slide 44. By default, silent install of IAM will install IAM to the default location. So if you want to change the default location, you just modify the profile section, which is highlighted in red, in the install.xml, which is shipped with IAM, and you can specify your location. So after that, if you just do install C or user IMSTC based on the user that's running, it will install IAM to that location that is you specify under the profile section highlighted in the red. Slide 45, please. Now, in course of time of running IAM, right, we have seen that the installation manager might become unresponsive due to corruption or an update of installation manager might fail. So this can cause IAM not to run. So starting IAM 1.6, we have this option called reinstall IAM, which can be used to reinstall the runtimes of IAM. Now, this option can be used in graphical mode, silent, and command line, and the commands are shown on the slide for all three modes. So this will reinstall your IAM runtime. So note that only IAM runtime, that is IAM home directory, will be fixed. So if agent data and IAM shared are corrupt, this option is not going to help there. If for the initial install of IAM, you have used the dash DL or dash data location to change the location of your agent data, then that should also be used with your reinstall IAM option so that the correct agent data is read. Like I said, this option only recovers IAM runtime and doesn't help if agent data or IAM shared is gone. Slide 46, please. We've seen requests to convert. So previously, all IAMs were 32-bit before 1.6. But now we have 64-bit IAM, especially for Linux platforms where you want to run GUI without the 32-bit libraries and all that. So you can also use the dash reinstall IAM option to convert your 32-bit IAM to 64-bit or vice versa. Put the link to the Info Center, which provides the detailed steps, which is nothing but you just do the reinstall IAM option with the same version or higher version, the IAM binaries, and that should take care of it. Slide 47. Starting 1.6.2 IAM, GTK is used for the graphical interface on AIX, so you need to have the required GTK libraries that are listed on the link to the tech note out there. The link to that is on the slide. That lists all the GTK libraries that are needed to run the graphical mode on IAM 1.6.2 or higher on AIX. These libraries are also needed to run the profile management tool in WCT and graphical mode starting WASIC also. So make sure you have those libraries if you want to run 162 or higher IAM in graphical mode. Slide 48. Yeah, so Java 7 is an optional install on WAS 8.5. By default, Java 6 is installed, with WAS 8.5. You can always install Java 7 on WAS 8.5 and Java 7.1, except on Solaris and HP, on 8.5.5.2. The Java 7.0 can be downloaded from Passport Advantage. This is the link to that is on one of the slides which Vikram covered on repositories. You can get the part numbers and download it, and it can be installed on top of existing WAS. The Java 7.1 download is on the 8.5.5.2 fixed pack download page. Once you've installed the Java 7.0 or 7.1, you'll see the directory with Java 7.1 or Java 7 created under your WAS home. That's where the new Java is. The Java 6 will still exist and will always be updated when you apply a fixed pack, because Java and WAS fixed packs are same. But Java 7 and Java 7.1 fixed packs you have to apply when you apply the new fixed pack, because those are optional and separate download. Also, we have seen confusion where there's no update between Java 7 to Java 7.1. There are two different Javas, and Java 7.1 is not available for Solaris and HP. Once you have installed these Javas, you need to use manage SDK command to make sure that your profiles and runtimes can use it. Just installing this Java doesn't switch automatically on the WAS side. There's a link to blog which covers the part numbers and downloads and usage of manage SDK. So if you want to use Java 7, I strongly encourage you to review this blog. Slide 49, please. The best practices, we always recommend you to take the backup of IAM shared and agent data along with WAS. And the backup should be from the same timestamp. And if you do the restore, or let's say your WAS, let's say a fixed pack update failed or something happened, and you're trying to do a restore, the restore should be done for all the three directories from the same time frame, that is WAS home, agent data, and IAM shared, backup taking at the same timestamp. If there's a mismatch between them, then that can cause issues during the updates. Your runtime can run fine, but you might have issues trying to do updates or uninstalls or rollback. The above recommendation is for the backup for the WAS offerings, but if you have any other stack products or something, make sure you check the documentation for that product for the backup, additional backups that might be needed. Yeah, so this is an issue we see quite often, where the second install of WAS on the same machine is not working. If you look at the response file, highlighted in the green on the left, is the packet, the profile ID is V80_1. And the right side, when trying to install, we're using the same profile ID but different install location. So the profile ID or package ID name should be unique for each install, and this is actually chosen during the initial install. Automatically during graphical mode, you can customize it if you're using a response file. So every WAS install or IHS or plugin install should have a unique profile ID. So make sure for the second install, you specify a different profile ID, and the install should work. To find out the profile ID that was used for the installed products, you can always use IMCL list install packages -verbals. Slide 51, please. So this example is other way around. In this example, we have install location as same, but the profile ID is different. So we changed the profile ID, but we kept the same install location, which is app server, BPM test. And when we were doing the install, it failed with an error as shown on the screen. So the profile ID and the install location should be one-on-one mapping and unique for each install. Yeah, this is another, development provided a test fix, and when trying to install during graphical mode, it's not showing in the list as available fixes or something. The reason is that when you select the update option, the show recommended only is checked, and the test fix will not show in that list. So once you uncheck that, the fix will show up, and you can continue with your install. The iFix is installed. How do you verify on WAS side and IAM side? On WAS side, you can always do version info-long from the home WAS home directory, WAS home bin directory. You can run version info-long. And on the IAM side, you can always do IMCL list install packages -long, and it will list all the iFixes and the fix packs that are installed with that IAM for all the offerings. Slide 54, please. This is another problem where, you know, install was done by somebody, they left the company, or they, you know, they're not accessible or moved on, and we're not sure which IAM was used. And we went ahead and installed a new IAM with different user, but it's not able to see WAS. So the best way to do this is you do version info, and from the version info, like you've highlighted in red on the first screenshot, you'll see a log directory, which is c:iamlogs-logs. So the c:iamlogs is the agent data directory that was used. So you can go to c:iamlogs and check for install registry.xml. That will show you the install location of your IAM, agent data, and IAM share, and also the user that was used. So this helps to backtrack the IAM that was used. And so once you click with the correct IAM, your update or whatever option you want to use should work fine. Slide 55, please. When you try to do a graphical install, you know, always 64-bit get installed, and you never get an option to 32-bit. The reason is by default, IAM will pick the based on the OS bit level. So if your OS is 64, by default, the 64-bit option will be checked, as you see in the screenshot highlighted in the black. So if you want to do a 32-bit, under the install packages panel, you switch to 32-bit, and then you'll get the WAS 32-bit. Now, the point to note is, let's say your initial install of WAS was done as 32-bit, then any optional Java that you install on top of this will always be using the same bit level, that is 32-bit only. You cannot switch the bit level for the optional Java. It has always been inherited for the bit level that was used for the install of original WAS. Slide 56, please. At this point, I'll pass to Vikram to cover the next topics and provide a summary for today's slide.
Thank you, Vaisha. That was a good one. And so here, yeah, we will talk about, you know, what kind of data needed by IBM support teams. So when engaging IBM support for any issue with Installation Manager, please send us, you know, the complete agent data directory. You can gather agent data, the directory by using graphical mode or command line as shown in the slide. Please note that it should be from the same installation manager used for install of offering. To find what installation manager used, please refer slide number 54 that was covered by Vaisha. We also need the logs directory from the product offering. Let's say, you know, if you are having the issue with the WebSphere application server, so we need the logs directory from the WebSphere application server home directory. And also, if you are using a response, if you are using a response file, using the command line, yep, we need that response file as well. Slide number 58, please. You can use Installation Manager, a GUI, to view the installed packages shown in the red color and history of the install shown in the green color. So this is your this is for your reference. Slide number 59, please. So now we are into summary. Topics, you know, we covered in the session today are Installation Manager should be used to install WebSphere 8.x onwards, like you know, if you want to install WebSphere, you know, 8.0x, 8.5x, so we should be using Installation Manager. Regular backups should be taken of any agent data or IAM shared with offerings at the same time. Same user should be used for updates or modify, which was used for initial install. -dl and the data location parameters can be used to use non-default agent data location. Agent data and IAM share directories should not be deleted or modified manually. So this is what we have covered in today's WebSphere Technical Exchange session. And at this point, I'm turning over to Kathy.
Well, thank you, Vish and Vikram, for a great presentation. The first question came from Harry. How do you manage your change Java 6 now to be Java 7.0? What will be required to many clients, users who might be using Java 1.5 or 1.6 if we change the server side to Java 7? Example, FileNet users, Content Manager users, Odwick users.
Yeah, so as I answered, right, so our focus here is on the install of the Java 7 or Java 7 or based on the usage and on the server side. On the client side, you know, the stack product or application or whoever is trying to invoke it, they have to make a call whether Java 7 will be certified or they have to make changes on the client side. That's something which is, the manager SDK or any tool that we have is not going to make that change.
And the next one also, I believe, is from Harry. It says, I believe you mentioned agent data is very important to take a backup. However, can we move this file to different location and still we will be able to make use of it? Or shall we create the same path structure when we restore?
No, when you – I'll just take a step back right here. One is – when you do the initial install, with default, if you're a root user, agent data will go to VAR IBM Installation Manager. When you take a backup, it has to be restored at the same location. You cannot change that path. However, what we encourage clients to do is when you install IAM, you can use the -DL or -data location option, which we covered on one of the slides. That way, let's say you're installing under Opt IBM WebSphere, you can have your agent data, IAM shared, and your products under WebSphere directory. In that way, you just back up the WebSphere directory and store it back, which will have all the content that is required.
The next question comes from David. If I install IAM and WAS as root and later want to change it to non-root, how would you recommend I make the change to the non-root?
Yes, I can. I'll take this question, Kathy. And yeah, unfortunately, once you install the product, either with a root user, even with a non-root user, so we cannot change the product offering or installation manager, assigning to a different user. So this is the case. This is why we have the mode operation, which is group mode. So you may want to consider installing the product in a group mode. That way, you can have more than one user, which in the part of this group can manage that installation manager. But, now we don't support or we don't have any way to change the user after installing the installation manager and the product offerings.
The next question is from Steven. Do we have to use installation manager to install WAS version 8?
Yes, exactly. Starting from WebSphere 8.0.0x onwards, we should all be using Installation Manager. There is no update installer in previous versions, like up until WebSphere 7.0. It was installer, and then you would be using update installer to manage, the WebSphere product. But however, starting from 8.0.0x, so only the Installation Manager should be used to install the product and to manage the product.
I don't think I missed any other questions. Did you see anything that I might have missed, Vikram or Vish?
Yeah, there was a comment on WAS 8.5 and 8.0. So basically, in the extraction, in this presentation, the images and all, we took latest and greatest, which is 8.5.5. However, the GUI options to install, the change of agent data, IAM shared location, options for the files for rollback, etc., all are applicable to WAS 8.0, 8.5. So specifically, our focus here was the usage of IAM with WAS offerings. It was not possible to have 8.0, 8.5, 8.5.5, all part numbers, and that would be a repetition of slides. But the only thing we'll change is the part number and package ID. And you can always use list available packages or list installed packages commands to get the specific package IDs or version IDs. And in our use cases, we did take examples from 8.0 and 8.5. We did a mix of both. Because the focus was from IAM looking at both these versions.
Since there are no more questions, we will conclude the presentation. Thank you very much for joining us today, and thank you, Vish and Vikram, for presenting today. You all have a great day.